Want to get the edge in your Premier League betting predictions? Pinnacle delve deeper into the data behind all of the Premier League matches every single game week. We combine Pinnacle's sharp betting markets with the game's latest analytical metrics to help you find value in the odds. This is EPL Insights. Welcome back to EPL Insights, presented by Pinnacle. Gareth Wheeler, Jake Osgathorpe with you. I'm not sure if this actually counts as a winter break, because we're right back at it. All the fixtures this month in January, it's an awkward one with FA Cup, Carabao Cup. Not many Premier League fixtures to dive into. So we hope that you're having an enjoyable winter break. For us, everything's just extended out a little bit more. Jake, how are you? How's 2024 treating you thus far?
Good, I guess. Yeah, it's busy, relentless schedule. We covered the FA Cup over here and, yeah, not had a break after the busy Christmas period. So I'm probably not going to have a break until, well, the next international break, right, which is March. So it's pretty non-stop with midweek FA Cup replays, Carabao Cup semi-finals, Champions League returning. It's been a tiring start to 2024, which is not ideal, is it? Start of a new year, still tired.
I think I had the exact opposite. I spent a week on the beach in Mexico, and my intake of margaritas, I hope that you bet the over, because I hit the over hard on that trip. Look, there's only five games to dig into this weekend. And then those five or 10 teams, I should say, have a little bit of a break themselves. And then the other five games are played next week. Do you like the way that things are set up? It just kind of feels like this is the time where everyone that's in and around the Premier League can maybe collectively catch their breath a little bit. Like, a lot of the teams only have two Premier League games this month, Jake.
Yeah, it's an interesting and I guess weird way of doing things. Like everywhere else across Europe, they all just take a full 2 weeks off and then they all come back at the same time. Yeah. Whereas the staggered, I think it's just the staggering just to make sure that there's Premier League football every weekend throughout January, whether it is, a full fixture list or half a fixture list. But yeah, I don't mind it, I guess. It is what it is. I think there is a break required, given the busy schedules and everything that's happening with on the injury front. There's loads more injuries this year, and you know, as a build up from all the football that's been played the last couple of years post COVID. It's interesting. It's different. Something different for us. I know we had a very similar thing last year, but I think it was shorter in terms of its window because of the World Cup. I think it probably is also a good thing for teams during January that they're not playing because of the transfer window. Obviously, if anybody wants to buy players, it means that it's not disrupting your flow too much, your game planning too much. If you've only got a few games, so that's one positive, I guess. And you hopefully recharge the batteries of some of the players, get a few more players fit, and it'll mean for a very good end to the season. But yeah.
Fewer games for certain teams also is a very good thing, with African Cup of Nations being played
for sure,
right now, and the Asian Cup as well.
Yeah.
So and both of them have some significant influence on potentially the markets and where we may be leaning here over the next couple of weeks. This is, I guess, a chance. We kind of touched on it in the last podcast, but we weren't quite there. The de facto midway point of the season. And there's been some twists and turns even over the festive season, where all of a sudden it was Arsenal. Whoops! The trap door, the floor opened up underneath them, and they're back to kind of where they expected to be in the mix, but not quite there. And it's not even Manchester City leading the way. It's Liverpool with a 5-point cushion atop the Premier League. On Pinnacle, the futures markets. Jake recommended it to you weeks ago. You had a chance at Man City on a plus number to go on and win the Premier League. That number's flipped. Their odds on it, minus 143. Liverpool at plus 228, the league leaders. And Arsenal now falling all the way to plus 608, the current standing on Pinnacle. You can find all the futures market on the app, on the website. Did you learn anything over the festive season? Did anything change for you? What's your position, Jake?
Not really. I guess the festive period was heading into game week 17. We've kind of had a decent body of work from all teams as to what we'd expect. I guess Liverpool, I think we were both on them from the start of the season. So to see them in such a, you know, top of the table is not a massive surprise. Aston Villa still being there is probably the biggest surprise. You know, they had a couple of wobbles as well, didn't they? For me, it's just all about Manchester City that for the first half of the season, everyone's saying that they've played poorly. They're not the usual selves. But people need to remember, like this, at this stage last season through 19 games, they had 2 points more than they currently have. And they collected 0.9 expected points more than they currently have. So they're performing at basically the same level for the first half of the season. And they've done it without Kevin De Bruyne, without John Stones for the most part, now without Haaland for a few games as well. And they're all going to be coming back to fitness for the back end of the season. We know what they're like at the back end of the season. They just go on a ridiculous surge. I think they've averaged around 46 points across the final 19 games since Pep Guardiola came in. So, you know, basically it's going to take a lot to beat them. You're going to need to hit 90 points probably to beat Manchester City, which is why we advised them at a plus number a couple of weeks ago.
And I mean, this is the thing. You're right. Everything sets up. Everything's lining up for City to go on and win another Premier League. Liverpool's the one side that can play spoiler. They're the one of the teams that are fortunate that there's so few games. I know that they're playing the Carabao Cup semifinal, but there's so few Premier League games in the month of January. Mo Salah, such an important player for this team, going off. But do they have the horses to maintain this pace? City does have a game in hand on Liverpool. They look to be the team. It's not just about their standing. It's like Klopp, brilliant manager. They've dealt with some injuries. It looks like their squad is a little bit deeper than it was last year, where they were absolutely decimated. Do you think they have the horses to go out and win this race?
I definitely think that they're the ones that are going to push City the furthest or the closest. Like you said, it's fortunate for them that they've got so few games in January. And I think Salah, if Egypt do get to the final, I think it's the second week of Feb that he'd be back, which is still a long period of time. It doesn't mean he will miss quite a few matches. The big one for me is Trent. Trent's injured now. We don't know for how long. That's not been fully confirmed, but he's out. They've already down Tsimikas, they're already down Robertson, are both missing, which means that they're having to play a youngster at fullback alongside Joe Gomez the other side. That to me is the, if they can get through this period and still be top of the table and then welcome Salah back and Trent back, then I think they're in serious business. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a little bit of a dip, just missing two key players, because not only are they, is Salah one of the most prolific goal scorers in the Premier League over the last 5 years, but he's also turned into arguably one of the best providers this season, being one of the best facilitators in the league. And obviously we know all Trent's qualities. So it's a big month for Liverpool in terms of their title credentials. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if they drop points in two or three in all the matches that they've got coming up, just because of those absentees.
Robertson's about to come back into the team. They have dealt with injuries though. Jota's missed some games, McAllister, Alisson, the goalkeeper, the left back situation with Robertson out. And they've done well to kind of, they've had some late winners. And yeah, they might not be the perfect side or the best side that we've seen from Liverpool in recent years, but I think there's something to do with this side. And they certainly have enough players in attack that can go out and change a game just like that. We see it on a week-to-week basis, and their home form still is great, Jake. So
for sure.
It's going to be a big challenge. It doesn't sound like they're going to do much in the market either, so we'll see.
No. But what I would say is, looking at the market currently at plus 2-8, I don't think that's a value play. If you look at they're missing Salah, they're missing Trent. Trent's probably going to be missing for the next three. If you look at the next three games, they play Bournemouth away, who are one of the form teams in the league. I know they got beat by Spurs, but they're very good in that game. They've got Chelsea at home, then they've got Arsenal away. So they've got three very tough games before Salah will potentially come back for a home game against Burnley. If they get all the way to the final, Egypt, he doesn't play again until away at Brentford. So they've got three very tough games coming up without their two most creative players. I personally would be holding fire. If you believe Liverpool in the long run are going to win the title, I'd hold fire because I think that number will drift on Liverpool over the next 3 weeks.
Brilliant. Before we move on to the five games this week, is there anything else here at the midway of the season that stands out to you? Is there something that you've learned that's notable? Do you have a new lean or established plays that you're kind of steadfast locked into right now? What do you make here at the midway point?
I definitely will be looking at backing Brentford to win matches again very soon. Ivan Toney's expected back. He should be back for the next game, which I think, yeah, after his long, lengthy ban. It's a big, big-ish game as well at home to Nottingham Forest, the team that are just above them in the table. Their underlying data has been sensational all season. They've been very unfortunate to have been dragged so low in the table. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see them go on a little bit of a surge once Toney comes back, plus a couple of other players from injury. And I won't be surprised to see the, you know, at least one of the bottom three make a little bit of a fist of survival. I know Luton are doing that at the moment. They're just 1 point from safety. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them at least going, taking it the distance. It looked early on as though it was going to be done and dusted very early. But yeah, Luton, maybe Burnley. It's a big game on Friday, the first game we're going to touch on. They both play each other. So whoever wins that could be a team that might at least make it interesting at the bottom end of the table. And yeah, the other one I'd be looking at is just, again, it's those Crystal Palace injuries, opposing Crystal Palace with Elise injured and Eze a doubt again. We don't know for how long. Those two players really make Crystal Palace tick. They make them the 12th best team in the league as opposed to the 18th best. So yeah, they're definitely something just to keep an eye on. I don't know. What about you? Have you got anything that you've seen that you're taking forward?
Well, with the relegation, two teams are going down. It's just who the third team's going to be. I'll share a stat a little bit later on the podcast that highlights that a little bit more. The one thing that stood out to me this season that has had a profound effect on a number of teams, Newcastle, Spurs, Manchester United, Brentford, is the sheer number of injuries and absences. What the injuries are. Sometimes the players are ill. Other times these are serious injuries that have kept players out for a long period of time. Suspensions for a number of reasons. They've had a massive impact on so many teams. And the run of form of when they play teams, it's had a big impact, a significant impact on the Premier League table. But to do with injuries, this is what bothers me. And I feel like it's a discussion that should be had in Premier League circles much more than it actually is. I was just watching Sky before we came on to do this podcast, and Vincent Kompany of Brentford sitting by on the podium, and he's asked about injuries in his team. Big game against Luton Town. It's a significant game for both these sides upcoming. He was asked about injuries in his team, and he said that his press officer told him not to say anything at all, not to mention anything about player injuries in his team. And obviously from a tactical perspective, you're like, okay, he doesn't want to show his hand. He wants to hold his cards close and not give up anything ahead of this game. But this goes beyond Burnley Luton Town. I think that it's time that Premier League managers and clubs are obligated to disclose injuries to a certain degree, because all of this is shrouded in secrecy. I don't think it's fair for the fans not knowing who could be playing and who's in and who's out and what's going on with players that they pay good money to support on a weekly basis, but more significantly for the betting markets. And no matter what anyone says, sports betting, gambling has a profound impact on the interest and the way that people follow the Premier League, as it does with a lot of sports. Living in North America, the National Football League, they fully acknowledge that. And what the National Football League does each and every week is midweek, you need to disclose which players are injured. And it doesn't need to be a definitive statement. This player is going to be out for the game. That needs to be disclosed a little bit closer to kickoff. But at the very least, highlight what players are hurt and what they are dealing with. If they do not disclose accurately, these teams are fined. And it's just the league acknowledges the sports betting, the fantasy sports element of it all, and they don't want to lie or be disingenuous to their fan base. Doing a podcast like this, we are highlighting markets. We're giving you as educated advice as we can on what our positions are each and every week. And I found it exceptionally difficult this year because of the lack of, you know, teams being forthright in terms of what players are injured with. We still don't know what a lot of players who have been out long-term, what they're actually dealing with. And that's across the Premier League. It's not just one or two teams, Jake. This is across the board. But following Manchester United as closely as I do, you know, what's going on with Malacia? What's going on with Mason Mount? Like, there is just, you just don't know what's going on with these players. And even on a micro level, all of a sudden the player's out on the weekend and you don't even know that they're carrying an injury. And it's not just a player falling ill, you know, 24 hours before the game. I think that if they want to continue to strike that balance, the Premier League, that is, in terms of being honest with their fans, being able to understand the influence that sports betting has on their product and try to make sure that those markets are as clear and obvious and just not clouded in secrecy, I think that they need to put something into play that mandates that clubs disclose player injuries. I think it's time. I think it's primitive that even the journalists, the people that cover these teams the most, it's a guessing game for them. I just don't see how in 2024 this makes any sense with the importance of sports betting. So I like to see that change. I've always felt this way, but it's highlighted that much more this campaign with so many teams affected by injuries, but still so many question marks about what those injuries actually are. So I think that it's time that it changes. I think Premier League owes it to their fans, to the markets, to everyone involved to make sure, to ensure that their clubs are more clear in terms of what players are experiencing and how it affects the teams on the field as well. So, rant done.
It's hard to disagree, though. Like, it's not difficult, is it, to just submit a document every Thursday saying this player's out, this player's a game time decision, this player's missing with this. It's not difficult, and like you said, it would make just the transparency across the board would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it, for fans who, you know, may buy a ticket to go watch Man City to watch Kevin De Bruyne, but he might be injured and they don't know about it, you know, stuff like that. So. Not just from the betting side, but also just from the pure enjoyment of fans. So yeah, no, 100% agree. And it doesn't seem like it would be, you know, it won't be, you know, it's not scorched earth. It's just a, whoops, that was a glass.
Like that. It wouldn't be like that.
No, it wouldn't quite be like that. But yeah, it is, it seems very straightforward. Not like, yeah, shattering the mold.
Yeah, you don't need to disclose everything. There still will be elements of unknown. So, yeah, I think it's time, and I'd like to see that issue pressed a little bit more than it has been. So, yeah, we'll move on because I'm not sure if you need to go sweep that up or anything, Jake. But
I'm just counting the pieces now. There's not too many, to be fair. I've got away with it.
Is there more pieces there or more injured players for Spurs right now? So,
it's close. It's very close.
So we'll get on with the five games this week. I just know that especially in recent weeks, it's had a big impact on the bets and the plays that I've made. And it's not sour grapes because I think a lot of people would feel the exact same way. That player's like, it's just time for a little bit more transparency. So let's get on with game week 21. Again, it extends over 2 weeks, five matches this week, five games the following week as well. And it starts off with Friday night football. And it's a big one for both sides as 19th place Burnley hosts 18th place Luton Town. Burnley's on 11 points and have just 3 wins on the season. 1 win and 5 losses in their last 7 games, including losing 1-0 to Spurs in the FA Cup. No clean sheets in their last 3 overall. They played to under 2.5 goals in 6 of their last seven games in all competitions. They have incredibly lost 17 games in all competitions. Get this, Jake. The 17 losses is the most losses of all teams in Europe's 5 big leagues in all competitions thus far. That's how bad this season's been for company in Burnley. They've lost 15 of 20 in the Premier League. The previous 3 teams to do that have all been relegated. Sunderland in 05-06, Derby County in 07-08, and Sheffield United in 20-21. And guess what? The Blades have also lost 15 of 20 this season. That's why Burnley, Sheffield United, good luck for me. They are toast. They are the worst home team in the Premier League, 1-0-9. They're the worst at home expected goals and the most home losses in their first 10 games in top flight history. Turf Moor, well, it's been a lot less this season. Thank you. You're welcome. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Luton Town, 18th place, 15 points, and they're just 1 point back of Everton. An FA Cup goalless draw at home against Bolton last time out. They lost 3-2 in that hard-fought loss to Chelsea at home before snapping a streak of 2 wins in a row during the festive season. They played to over 2.5 in 6 of 8 in all competitions. Both teams to score, also in 6 of 8. 2-1-6 away from home. 10 away goals in 9 games is actually more away goals scored than Manchester United, Fulham, and Brentford somehow. However, their 29.16 expected goals against courtesy of understat is by far the worst away in that category. They did win their last away game 3-2 at Sheffield United. Kabore, a noticeable absentee. He's playing at the African Cup of Nations. Head-to-head, Burnley won 2-1 at Kenilworth Road, and Burnley hasn't lost to Luton Town in their last 3. Burnley, a favorite heading into this game, despite just being absolutely awful at home. What do you make of this game? And do you have a play to get things kick-started for Game Week 21?
Yeah, I'm back in Burnley. I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
I didn't think I would do it all season, but this is a plus number, plus 103, and I think they should be odds on personally to win this game. You mentioned it there. Luton's defensive record away from home is abysmal. Like, they're conceding 3.2 expected goals against per game, which is bonkers. That is seriously bad. And you look at the some of the teams who've done that too. Obviously, they won at Sheffield United, but they conceded 3.6 XG on that occasion. At Brentford, 3.26 XG. Villa, 3.1. Forest, 3.3. So, you know, even against teams that are just above them in the league table or below them, they are struggling when travelling. And I think Burnley, the performance against Spurs in the FA Cup, I know it's the FA Cup, pinch of salt and everything, but they looked good. They looked better. I don't know if that was because they kind of had changed the style slightly and were a little bit more defensive-minded and a little bit more cautious. But they looked better. And I do think it's worth... I know you've mentioned Burnley's horrific home record. The only team that they've played that I guess you could say they'd expect to beat was Sheffield United, and they beat them 5-0. They've played Liverpool, Villa, Man City, Spurs, West Ham. So 5 of the current top 6. And they've played Man United, and they've played Chelsea. So they've played, 7 of the top 10? And then 2-0 defeats at home to Everton and Crystal Palace. So they have had arguably the toughest home schedule of anybody in the league. And yeah, you probably would have expected them to pick up a couple more points, just a few draws, scraping draws. But I'm not going to get too carried away with that. And I just think that this is win or bust for Burnley, really. If Burnley don't win this, then I don't think they've got any chance of staying up. I'd be shocked if they did stay up without winning this. So yeah, I think this is a good spot for Burnley to find themselves in. Fresh off a nice little break. They've had a decent performance against Tottenham. They pushed them close in the cup. Obviously pushed Villa close as well last time out in the Prem. You're smiling, which suggests to me there could be another head-to-head victory coming my way.
No. I'm just laughing because when I made Burnley home win plays, I lost one, and I think you snickered at me. The other one, I actually went out to win. I won that their lone home win of the season. I can't back Burnley. Watching this team play, I actually think that their goalkeeper Trafford, I think he's quite good. Quite a good young goalkeeper, but the rest of the team, I really like what I see from Luton Town, but I'm not going to back them away from home based upon exactly what you said there. I looked at the goals total at over 2.5. Tempted, I'm more conditioned to side with both teams to score here. So I'm going to make a full unit play, both teams to score at minus 125. I think Luton Town puts a lot of pressure on teams, even away from home. Their problem hasn't necessarily been their attack. It's been defensively. It's just not good enough. And maybe it'll go on and gift Burnley a goal or two. Maybe that's what it requires, to be honest with you. Burnley needs some real big help in the market. And if they don't, they're good as done right now. So both teams score at minus 125, a full unit play here. We'll see if there's goals in this game. You mentioned the game at Sheffield United where Luton Town won away. I mean, Sheffield United, what was it, 2-1 goals at the end of the game? Like they handed that game over to Luton Town. So maybe Burnley will continue their charitable ways at home here in 2024. So both teams score at minus 125. Keep it at that. Anything else on this? Or shall we move forward? What a game for Friday night football. Like, there's four actually really good games, I think.
Yeah, there are, yeah.
Burnley, home, yuck. We'll get through it.
You could say all five. All five this week are pretty good.
Well, the Burnley-Luton Town game, it matters, but will the game be good?
Well, yeah, it's true.
Let's move on to Saturday lunchtime fixtures, the West London Derby. It's Chelsea and Fulham. Chelsea's in 10th place, slowly creeping their way back up into relevancy. It always seems like it's one step forward and one step back. They're on 28 points. It's only 3 points back of both Brighton and Manchester United, who are joint 7th place. Back-to-back Premier League wins for Chelsea have put them in that position against Palace as well as Luton away. They crushed Preston North End in the FA Cup before losing to Middlesbrough in the Carabao Cup away from home 1-0. Their own fans were walking out of that game. There's just dissension in the ranks. It's just their leadership or lack thereof is being called out. Thiago Silva seems to be the only one. He's 39. They lost that first leg. They've gone over 2.5 in 4 or 5 in all competitions. Chelsea undefeated in their last 7 at home in all competitions, however. 4-3-3 at home in the Premier League. Third best expected goals, courtesy of Understat, at home as well. Ben Chilwell is inching towards a return. He hasn't played since September with a hamstring injury. Sounds like he could play a role this weekend. Lavia and Kunku not looking great. Kunku has a hip injury now. And it sounds like Mopo's going to take it easy, play it safe with him. So, but they need him. Jackson's away at the African Cup of Nations as well. So we'll see what that attack looks like for Chelsea this weekend. Fulham's 13th. You just don't know what to expect from them on a regular basis. They went on really struggling after some high-profile, high-scoring wins. And then they rounded off the festive calendar with a 2-1 victory over Arsenal. And they conceded first in that game, and they scored 2 to come back and win it. Fulham did lose 2-1 at Liverpool in the away leg of the Carabao Cup semifinal. First leg on Wednesday, they beat Rotherham 1-0 in the FA Cup as well. Fulham have lost their last 4 away matches in the Premier League. Get this, all by 3 or more goals. And that's the first time that's happened since 1969. Their 6 away points is the third fewest in the Premier League. Iwobi and Bassey are gone at the African Cup of Nations. Two important players for the side. Head-to-head Chelsea won at Craven Cottage 2-0. It was a goalless draw in this fixture last season. Under 2.5 as played in 4 of 5. Look, it's hard to like Chelsea right now. But Fulham away, there's not much to like there either. Is there a play that you like in this game, Jake?
Well, I was going to go with the goal line. I just think it's going to be wide open game, as Chelsea's games tend to be. But I just thought a little bit of a bigger price, taking Chelsea to win and both teams to score at plus 221, piqued my interest for a half unit play. I think, as you mentioned, Chelsea, they're kind of finding the groove a little bit. We've said this before earlier in the season, and it's kind of, they've lost their groove. But yeah, they seem to have found a bit of a rhythm, putting wins together as well as decent performances, which, yeah, if they can sustain it, they can have a real tilt at maybe catching, the back end of European places in the top flight. And I know they're missing a couple of key players in attack, but I still trust them to create enough chances against a Fulham team that have looked exceptionally vulnerable away from home, as you hinted at. They are definitely a home comforts team at the moment, Fulham. Only Newcastle and Luton have conceded more expected goals on the road than the Cottagers. 2.3 per game is not ideal heading to a Chelsea team that, but let's be honest, at this moment in time, they are more of a, in the forward line anyway, they're more of a sum of parts as opposed to like one or two standout individuals. And I think that's the way Pochettino likes it, to be fair. I think he likes the kind of rotation element of being able to play different people, different places, a bit of a free role to move around. And now they've got a bit of a solid foundation. I think that they'll be an interesting watch for the rest of the season. The other interesting factor for this game is it's two teams that are playing in the Carabao semi-final, going head-to-head, and they're both behind heading to the second legs, which are both at home. Does that mean a bit of rotation, resting of players? Maybe. You know, they're coming off the back of a busy Christmas period, straight into the FA Cup. Then they've got two Carabao legs. This game falls in between. Maybe could potentially be the case. But either way, the way in which Chelsea have defended of late, they've been exceptionally vulnerable. Fulham have shown, you know, they've been to Anfield and scored in the Carabao Cup. They've, like you said, put two past Arsenal. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them score once, maybe twice at Chelsea. But I think Chelsea will score at least twice. So and a more likely winner. So half a play on Chelsea winning both teams to score at a big price.
Okay. No chance I can back Chelsea in this game. Even though, if you remember the first fixture, they made light work of Fulham. They were in complete control of that game. Fulham just didn't show up. I think Marco Silva doesn't allow that to happen again in this game. On there has to be some kind of response. And despite a number of poor performances, you know, they were okay against Liverpool midweek in the Carabao Cup. And I do think that their top players generally show up for games like this. I think that last time out against Chelsea was the exception, not the rule. And if you're going to give me a full goal on the Asian handicap, plus one at minus 117, it's worth the roll of the dice for me. I just understanding I can't back Chelsea. They won't have Jackson. They might not have Nkunku as well. Yeah, give me Fulham on the handicap. Full goal at minus 117. Making that a full unit play. And that is more to do with my lack of faith in Chelsea than my faith in Fulham as an away side. I think they're better than what the record states. Perhaps at this time of year, you are what your record is. I think they're a well-managed team, and I think that Chelsea's being overrated going into this game. So I'm happy to move on from it unless you have anything else to add.
Now let's move on to the big Saturday game.
It's a big one. There's going to be a nice gap. So you watch this game, then you go have a drink, you can spend some time with the family, and you settle back in for some dinner time football from St. James's Park. It's Newcastle and Manchester City. Ninth place Newcastle's on 29 points. The 2-9, they're 9-2-9 on the season as well. 29 points, 9-2-9. Ninth place. Do you feel like twos and nines? I don't know if they have a special place in your heart, but Newcastle are just tied for you. It could be. It looked like last time out in the Premier League against Liverpool, it could have ended 9-2. It maybe should have ended 9-2. A full-strength Newcastle side, which is notable. Anyhow, I mean, I know his team has been absolutely devastated by injury, but in cup competitions, he's not messing about. He's playing his best teams. They beat Sunderland away, finally beating Sunderland away in the FA Cup. 3-0 was the final. Isak came away with a brace. He scored in three straight games. However, Newcastle lost three straight in the Premier League before that fixture, and they were knocked out of the Carabao Cup by Chelsea before that. So it was a much-needed win for this Newcastle side. They've gone over 2.5 in 7 of 9. Newcastle have one win and 5 losses in their last 6 in the Premier League, and that one win came against 10 men Fulham after Jimenez was sent off. They gave up a 6.67 expected goals to Liverpool in a 4-2 loss at Anfield. Did you watch that game, Jake? It was incredible to watch how wide open Newcastle were. It kind of reminded me of the first game of the season when Aston Villa went to St. James's Park and Villa refused to change the way that they played and left themselves so susceptible, so wide open. Newcastle did the same thing at Liverpool. Literally, that game seemed like it could have been about 9-2. Newcastle, despite their weaknesses of late, are still an elite home side. They're 8-0-2 at home. They have the fewest home goals conceded with 7-10. The second best home expected goals as well, all courtesy of Understat. Joe Linton, a little bit of a question mark coming off through injury in the last game. And the lengthy injury list, I'm not going to name them all because the usual candidates are generally still out, including Callum Wilson. So that's notable as well. Man City, third place, 40 points, 5 points back of Liverpool, but they do have a game in hand. And now Kevin De Bruyne is back. Doku's back in the team. Arsenal has slipped. And City all of a sudden looked back in the driver's seat. Back-to-back Premier League wins coming out of the Club World Cup, beating Everton and Sheffield United. They completed 938 passes against Sheffield United in that 2-0 win. It's the second most on record in the Premier League. By the way, they own the record. I think it was 943 a few years ago. I believe it was in 2018. They also smashed Huddersfield 5-0 in the FA Cup. So it's 5 wins in a row in all competitions for City. No losses in 8 overall. They played over 2.5 in 7 of 8. They're unbeaten in their last 4 in the Premier League, but they did concede in 3 of those games and didn't play the most difficult schedule over that span. They are the best away side in the Premier League, almost 4 more expected points courtesy of Understat than anyone else, 21 away goals in 10, and only Spurs have scored more away goals, but almost 7 more in terms of expected goals than anyone else. They are 6-1-3 overall away from home. John Stones is out. What else is new? Seems like Pep is proceeding with a little bit of caution with Erling Haaland, although he is back training, and no word as of yet whether he'll play this weekend. I expect he will. Head-to-head City won 1-0 in the league. Newcastle won 1-0 in the Carabao Cup in a game that Jay claimed that City wanted to lose or just had very little interest in. That's probably the best way of putting it. So what do you make of this big game? Like, Newcastle have been struggling so much, but they're a completely different side at home. This is a big game, I think, for both sides, especially Man City in terms of their title credentials. Although we documented at the start of the podcast about how they're rightfully the favorite to go on and win this, they just want to be able to close that gap between them and Liverpool, don't they? And this would be a big statement coming away with the result away from home at a very difficult place to go. So what do you make of this game?
Yeah, it'd be a huge, huge result if they could go there and win. I do think the price to win is too short, though, at -177. I expected a bit bigger. As you said, Newcastle are close to full strength now. They fielded a very strong team last week against Sunderland, a team that you could expect to play this week. And that has me leaning towards the under. The line set at 3, the goal line. And we're getting -114 for under 3 goals. And I think that's more than fair. This Newcastle team are very, very defensively strong when they get to a full strength. And I think that now they've had a little bit of rest in between a couple of matches. Like, that Liverpool game was mental, but it was also the back end of a really busy schedule where they'd had, the month prior, they'd had basically midweek weekend, midweek weekend, midweek weekend. Then they got to Christmas and it was 3 games in 6 days. And then they had a nice break to that Sunderland match. They looked much better, much more assured. And now they've had another nice week off ahead of this Man City game. I think that I think the tired legs will have gone. Obviously, they get more of a break after this to freshen up again. I think we'll see a much better defensive display from Newcastle, especially at home as well, which make a massive difference. And Manchester City, I know they've conceded quite a few goals this season, perhaps more than many people would have expected, but their underlying process defensively is still the best in the league. They concede the fewest number of chances on a per-game basis. And yeah, I think this is going to be similar to what we saw earlier in the season at the Etihad, where it was 1-0 to Manchester City, and Newcastle played in a very negative manner. They were very conservative. They didn't press too hard. I think Eddie Howe's kind of shown he's capable of setting up a team like that. Newcastle have done it a few times this season. They did it at PSG, nearly pulled that off as well in Paris. So yeah, I could see this being a game in which they frustrate Manchester City for long periods, and City maybe grind out a 1-0 win.
Wow. I don't see it quite playing out that way. I think it could. I just, the way that Newcastle is set up right now, I just don't think they're capable of doing it. It's a very different team. Remember that 1-0 when City over Newcastle came in the second game of the season. And the team has been affected so much. The Tonali suspension, I think you're starting to feel that. Look, it's allowed a player like Miley to step up. He's done well, but just the entire team has a different feel. And a lot of the players that started that season bang on a sensational form. A lot of those players are out now. Barnes has been out for forever in this. I just, when I look at Newcastle and the way they play right now, especially at home, I wouldn't bet against them scoring goals, but against a team like City, I think they'll concede as well. Both teams will score, but City go on and win it. It's at a decent number at +207, a full unit play. I think City are the better side here. Newcastle's form has been dreadful in the Premier League. They look a little bit out of steam. I think that this is a game where Pep will be relishing going and playing in a different spot. I think City going to win this game. But I do think they concede as well. So I was looking at over 3 at +102. I was tempted by it, but give me a little bit more juice on both teams to score and City to come out and win this game. +207, a full unit play. That's what I'm betting.
You
want
to make it head-to-head?
No, because it's I'll just get smashed. Every time we go head-to-head, it's a guaranteed loss for me. So I'll let you off the hook here and try to put some good karma in my sail. That's what I need. These head-to-heads have been an absolute nightmare. Was it 6-1, 7-1? I don't even know. This is like an early round knockout, Jake. We're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
I'm already on the mat.
It's 7-1 now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'm keeping count. Someone's got to keep count. If I was losing 7-1, I'm pretty sure you'd be keeping count.
And do you know what? Newcastle like that number two, don't they? Yeah, let's make this a head-to-head. Come on, let's go. If it's a draw, it's a push. But let's go.
Yeah. Okay. Over, under three.
Over, under, push sorry, at three. Yes. Yeah, push at three. Okay.
Let's do it.
So hold on. Am I getting juicy? I have to take some swings here. 7-1, it just, no justice is being served. Okay. Moving things on to Sunday. Another game I think can be really good this weekend. I think it's a difficult call what the right play is to make. So we'll put the pressure on Jake to make that call. It's 17th place Everton against second place Aston Villa. Everton's on 16 points, also known as 26 minus 10. They came away with a draw against Crystal Palace in the FA Cup. Calvert-Lewin got sent off. He never should have. It's pretty incredible that it was. No wins in 5 overall for Everton, with 3 straight Premier League losses before that. It's been a weird stretch of play. They conceded 8 goals over those 3 Premier League games after conceding only 8 goals in the previous 10 games played. And they had 4 consecutive clean sheets before these previous 3 games. So it's been a recent dip in form. I'm not sure how much that changes the way that we look at Everton as a whole. Just 11 goals scored and 12 goals conceded in 10 home games. Only 3 wins at Goodison Park for Everton. 11 goals scored, but it's notable. They do have over 20 in terms of expected home goals, courtesy of Understat. Decore missed out against Palace. He's closing in on a return, however. McNeil is a doubt. Nothing's being clarified. He was stretchered off, but Sean Dyche was hoping that they avoided serious injury. I'm not sure what that means for his status, to be honest with you, this weekend. And Idrissa Gueye is out. He's at the African Cup of Nations. Villa, still second place. They're on 42 points, but just 1 win in their last 3 Premier League games. A draw against Sheffield United, a narrow 3-2 win over 10-man Burnley, and a complete capitulation against Manchester United after leading in that game 2-0. They went on to lose it 3-2. They did beat Middlesbrough away in the FA Cup. Both teams to score has played in 5 of 6 overall. They are 4-2-4 away from home. Really, their second place standing is based on their really good home form. 14 goals scored, 19 against away. That's -5 in goal differential. Traore is away at African Cup of Nations. Torres and Tielemans looking more likely to play, but I believe I said that the week prior and they didn't. So we'll see. Head-to-head, Villa won the first meeting at home this season. 4-0 was the final. Although Everton have won at Villa Park this campaign, 2-1 in the Carabao Cup. Everton, no clean sheets in their last six against Villa. Everton, the underdog going into this game at home. Looking at the markets, I find it a tough one to play unless you have real conviction about either one of these sides heading into this game. Do you have that kind of conviction, Jake?
I do, yeah. I'm going to take Everton on the handicap at plus naught. Plus 110, it's a big price for me for a team that we've spoken about all season long, being one of the better teams in the league that have just been a little bit unfortunate, especially at home. You know, if you're looking at the table from expected points, Villa sit 35.4, they're fourth. Everton, eighth at 30.4. So there's only five expected points between them. Obviously, we know Villa have been a better team than Villa than Everton this season. Absolutely no doubt about that. But I think Everton deserve a little bit more credit than what the bookmakers are currently giving them, with plus 183 for a home win. I think they should be a little bit shorter and maybe favourites, especially given Villa's away form. It's not been great. That's the main gripe we've had all season long about Villa and why we think that they probably will fall short in a kind of title push, is that they just struggle to find a bit of consistency away from home. Four defeats, just four wins in those 10 away matches. And as you mentioned, they conceded 1.9 goals per game, 1.8 expected goals per game they're conceding, which means they're a very vulnerable travelling team. Even Manchester United managed to beat them, which says a lot. Meanwhile, Everton at home, results have been bad. Performances have deserved more. I think this could be a game that they finally get their just rewards for solid performance. They can't average two expected goals for a 1.3 against and only win like 30% of the games at home. That's just not going to happen over the course of the season. They will start picking up results. And I think the fact that Doucouré is close and probably will feature is huge for what Everton try and do. I think his second man runs could cause Villa all sorts of problems with that high line that they like to play. And they've shown some vulnerabilities of late against really, really bad teams. You know, a draw with Sheffield United and then only just scraped past Burnley, who had 10 men for a long period last time out. I definitely think that this is a game where Everton will at least snap this losing streak, in which case we'd get a push. And even so, you know, they've lost three in a row. Two of them were against Tottenham and Manchester City, two of the current top four, and one away at Wolves, who are one of the best home teams in the league at the moment.
Got smashed, yeah. 3-0 against Wolves.
Oh, yeah, but that was a while ago now. December the 30th, you're talking 2 weeks. They've had a nice two-week break to sit on that. And Dyche will have had pictures up. He'll have had recordings up to say, look how crap you were in that game. Do not replicate that. And I don't think they will. And I think they'll come out firing against Villa.
I would have bet that you would have made that bet. And I would have...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the data suggests that you should back Everton going into this game. There's a part of me, because of that, says that they're due. This team is due to go out and have... A really good home win. I can't do it though. No bet for me in this game because I think Villa are the better team, and I think that matchup wise, that athleticism, that fearlessness that oftentimes Everton plays with, I think that Everton can cope with that, especially in the midfield. It's going to be a competitive matchup, and I think that 4-0 win at early in the season, that told something about me about this Villa side and how they play against teams like this. I think that if he ends up playing Diaby in this game, him running at that Everton back line, he does well at times, but they're just limited in terms of their mobility and what they can handle at times. And I think they can be a real threat in this game. I considered the total. Because of the context when it comes to Everton, I can't bet against them as much as I want to side with Aston Villa in this game. So I'm conflicted. I'm staying away. I'm looking forward to watching this game, honestly, because I think it'll be a really good game. If Dwight McNeil is good enough to play, if an hour before kickoff, if the line stays similar and McNeil's in, I might join you on that Everton play. But right now, I just can't do it. So,
I don't mind if McNeil's injured. Dan really? Juma might get a run out. Yeah. Beto could play off the left.
What a bust Dan Juma's been. I mean, I was expecting big things coming back to the nothing.
Yeah, me too.
They look much better with Harrison and whoever. And I like this Everton. I like both these teams, to be honest with you. It pains me not to have a play, but that's where we're at. Final game of the five, or feature five. Well, it's just five this weekend. It's the battle of last man standing, because we'll see who can actually field an 11 for this game. It's Manchester United and Spurs. United's in eighth place, Spurs in fifth. United are on 31 points. Their season has been a case of all or nothing, literally. 10 wins, 1 draw, 9 losses. They flip-flop whether they show up or not. A 2-0 win over Wigan in the FA Cup. They had 33 shots in that game. I mean, Wigan, it's not the Wigan side from 2013, is it? But, I mean, maybe something to like. I sat in the – I felt like such a degenerate. I sat in the pub in Mexico, not in the sun, not in the pool, not with my family, watching that game. I think it says a lot about me.
Clutching at margarita straws, I think.
I was just like, make it 3-0. I could go back to the pool. I couldn't even do it. Embarrassing. After beating Villa, they were so poor in that 2-1 away loss to Nottingham Forest, which really took the wind out of any United sail. They are 6-0-4 at home, 13 goals scored. That's it. 16 against. They have the fourth worst home expected goals against, courtesy of Understat. Injuries and absence honestly continues to be the story. Coming off the bench in that game against Wigan, and it wasn't based upon fielding a weakened side in the FA Cup, still don't have anyone available. There were Pellistri, Forsen, Hannibal, and Kimbuala. That's who came off the bench for Manchester United in that game. Onana has stuck around, which is interesting. He's going off to the African Cup of Nations after. Amrabat is playing at the African Cup of Nations. Ten Hag did say that he expects Shaw, Eriksen, and Maguire. They're the most likely trio to return this weekend, but honestly, who knows? Spurs are in fifth, 39 points, with the same amount of wins this season as Man City and Arsenal. They beat Burnley in the 1-0 in the FA Cup. They have 5 wins out of their last 6 in all competitions, and 4 out of 5 wins in the Premier League. So they're back on track. They've got over 2.5 in 8 of 10. Both teams to score in 8 of 10. First to score in 9 of 10. Spurs, interestingly, have scored in every game, 22 of them under Postecoglou. And Spurs have now scored in 32 straight Premier League games dating back to last March. They're 1-1-2 in their last 4 away. Only City and Liverpool have more away points than Spurs, who have 18 in 10 games. 22 goals scored away from home is the most, despite being 6th in expected goals. And they actually have a higher expected goals against than expected goals away from home. Timo Werner has joined on loan. Radu Dragusin is on his way. Eric Dier is in Munich. He's on his way out. Bissouma and Sarr are both at the African Cup of Nations. Son is at the Asian Cup. Davies now has a hamstring injury. Van de Ven did make the bench against Burnley. And boy, oh boy, would they like to have anyone that can play center back in that team. Head-to-head, Spurs beat United 2-0. But if you remember, it was goalless at halftime. And somehow, I'm still not sure how it wasn't awarded. Garnacho took a shot from distance. It clearly hit Romero's arm, like up in the air like this, and nothing was given. Spurs won the game. They played to over 2.5 in this matchup in 5 of 7. It was 2-0 for United in this fixture last season. So here we go. I mean, I don't know who's going to play for either one of these teams this weekend. I don't know how much it matters. It's very difficult to make a play based upon the lack of knowing who is in, who is out. We know how many players are definitely going to be out for Spurs this week. United, more of a mystery. What do you make of this game?
Tottenham to win, plus 198.
Whoa, okay, go ahead. Have at it, Jake.
How the hell can you back Man United in this current state? Like, they look awful. And at least Tottenham, the reason that I just know what I'm going to get from Tottenham. Doesn't matter which personnel they've got available, you know exactly how they're going to try and play.
And they've got enough of a threat in attack to cause a very vulnerable Man United defence some serious problems. I know Son's missing, but Timo Werner should slot straight in on that left-hand side, should get a lot of space in what should be quite an open game. Kulusevski in the 10, Brennan Johnson on the right, Richarlison up front. Like, they're going to score at least twice, Tottenham, against this Man United defence. Bentancur's fit again. He's playing in the middle. You know, whether you want to go with Højbjerg or Lo Celso alongside him, should be fit. And then, like you said, Van de Ven is back fit. He should start here after another week off. Emerson has done a decent enough job filling in at centre-half. And then you've got Pedro Porro and Udogie. Like, that team should beat Manchester United. A Man United team that have got no consistency whatsoever. Granted, I think it'll be quite a high-scoring game. I think it could be quite end-to-end. We could see quite a lot of goals. But I think the price about Tottenham winning is just way too big. They've been so much better than Man United this season. United do not warrant being plus 122 to win this game at all. I have them closer to around plus 145, which would make Spurs a bet down to around plus 165. I'm locking it in. I'm going to go full unit. I'm going to get greedy. I'm going to go full unit, Spurs to win. I wouldn't put anyone off backing Spurs to win and both teams to score as well at plus 356. I think this Spurs team will have more than enough for Man United. And I know it's only the FA Cup, but the fact that Spurs played on Friday against Burnley and United played on Monday means that they've had an extra couple of days rest, get players back fit. Madison's going to be touch and go as well. He could well come back in for this game to add a bit of extra attacking impetus. And like I said, it's just more about what I know I'm going to see from Spurs. And I had no idea what I'm going to get from Man United on a week-to-week basis, on a game-to-game basis. Don't know what their style is. Don't know whether they're trying to play counter-attack or possession-based. I don't think they know. Don't know whether they're trying to play a high press or a low block. Whereas, consistency with Spurs and the players know that what's expected of them, and Man United is still a bit of a guessing game. So I'm going to trust Spurs to go and get the win. And I feel like we might have another head-to-head.
We 100% have a head-to-head. I love the confidence in Timo Werner coming in. He's played 8 games this season for Leipzig. The guy scored 10 goals in 56 career Premier League games. So the same Timo Werner. Is that it?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay. I mean,
you remember him.
Look, if Son's around, if Sar's around, if Romero's playing, then yeah, I'm probably backing Spurs in this game. I can't. Yeah, what I know is that they're going to play. I kind of feel like Postecoglou will not learn the mistake that Aston Villa made when they went to Old Trafford, still trying to play the high line, still trying to force the issue. Any team that goes on and plays well against United parks the bus. They play deep defensively, and they beg United to break them down. The fact that Postecoglou won't change his way playing against a United team, the only thing that they can do is get in behind the back line with Bruno Fernandes spraying balls over the top to Garnacho or Rashford. That's their only way forward. And guess what? Spurs are going to give United those opportunities. You said it, horses for courses last week, and I should have listened to you when it came to United and Nottingham Forest. But this is the exact same case here, that the way that Spurs play should open up things nicely for Manchester United this game. Bring Shaw back into the team. We'll see you. Look, I'm fine with whatever United brings to the table. At plus 122 in this game, it is a head-to-head between Jake and Wheeler for this one. This is a big game. Could you imagine if Andre Onana skips out on African Cup of Nations because he wants to play against Spurs? He understands that there's a real advantage here with the absences that Spurs have to go on in United to pick up a big 3 points. This is a huge game for Manchester United playing at home here. United, full unit play. Plus 122. Let's go. Let's go. I'm looking forward to this one even more now. Yeah. I can't believe you'd be that confident. I know how Spurs are going to play, but I actually think that might actually be a good thing because Manchester United should know how they're going to play as well.
Maybe. I mean, it is scary. Every game back in Spurs is scary because they make it so wide open. But at the same time, they make it open, Man United will make it open, and it becomes a case of who scores more. Who would you rather trust in the forward areas? And I think over the season so far,
Charleston, Kulusevski, and
Brennan Johnson. Yep, Timo Werner. They've all scored more goals than Garnacho, Højlund, and Rashford this season.
I fully understand that. It's been exceptionally poor for Manchester United, their attacking group. But But again, this is Spurs. This is home. This is no center backs. Van de Ven, is he really going to come right back? He didn't. He was on the vet. Yeah, he was available. He didn't play. Can he play 90 minutes? I just
Ben
Davies
is
being excellent. Now he's out with a hamstring. Emerson and Van de Ven, I just come on. I'm not having
right.
it. Well, I'm not having it.
We're so, head to head in it. We're head to head in it. I love Spurs.
Actually,
we love United.
I actually feel like I should make a bigger play. I was actually thinking about playing the under in this game, to be honest with you. Like that was my other one.
I'd be shocked.
But
if
I'm
it's
like,
under.
I can't get my. It's under 3.25. I just. Anyways, United's gonna win this game.
Okay. either way, like I could see this being a 4-3 either way or a 3-2. I think it'd be that open. I think there'd be that many goals. I think it'd be a really good
Hoyland hat trick, Garnacho brace, Rashford.
Hoyland can quadruple his tally for the Premier League season, then, won't he?
He's got a little bit of Richarlison last season in him, and Timo Werner's. Anyways,
Timo Werner
and Brendan Johnson. He's hardly is Brendan Johnson lighting the world on fire for Spurs this season? Oh. Come on,
Yeah, he's been class. He will. Yeah, he's been really good. He's not scored the goals, but he's an absolute handful. But yeah, listen, head to head it. I'll take another win after this week. I'll be 9-1 in front, and I think we can call it quits.
And Spurs will go back to being Spursy. I do like their manager. I do like their fullbacks. You know, I do think they have an advantage in that area. But come on. United, it's a good way to finish the podcast with a little bit of dissension in the ranks. So I like, you know, when we go head to head and we kind of just state our case and whatever. I like when there's some true heat involved here, and I feel like there's going to be
there's always true heat when I'm backing against Man United and you're backing Man United because he's double down for you.
I know.
Personal.
I know. It's even more invested in these games. And again, this isn't a bias. I honestly think that this game sets up nicely for Manchester United. Famous final words. Do you have a final word that you want to share before we wrap things up?
Come on, you Spurs.
And go on and continue to be Spursy. That's it for this week. 5 more games coming up next week. We'll do it all again on next week's EPL Insight. Subscribe, like, tell your friends. We're doing the best we can despite no injury designations in the Premier League, which is a change. On behalf of Jake and everyone at Pinnacle, I am Gareth Wheeler. We'll do it all next week again on EPL Insights.